Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates, 7:31 Central Time. Joining me in studio this morning, the Reverend Dr. Dale Meyer, president of Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Meyer.
Well, good morning, Andy. I'm glad to meet you, glad to be in the new studio, and now I will always think of you when I drive by your statue in Forest Park.
My statue?
Yeah, on the West End, there's a statue of Edmund Bates, who was the Attorney General under Abraham Lincoln. But now now that statue has a new meaning to me. Andy Bates. Andy Bates.
Well, thanks. It's good to have you in studio this morning and have you come over here and spend some time here at the new. It's a little bit longer commute to the studio for you now, huh?
Yeah, it is. But this is beautiful. And I remember how the old studio was, which served ably for many, many decades. But yeah, this is great. And thank you for the tour of the new KFUO.
Glad to have you here. It's we have you here today to talk about Concordia Seminary and the anniversary that Concordia is celebrating this year. Now, 175 years. You've not been there for all 175 years.
Do I look that bad?
Tell us how
long. Putting the best construction on it, Andy.
How much of the 175 years have you been at Concordia Seminary?
Oh, my goodness. You're going to make this fun. I got.
He's doing the math.
I'm doing the math. This. What year is this?
This is 2014.
Okay. I came in 1969 as a student, so that's. That's 45 years.
Wow.
45 years. You know, when I got there in 69, I graduated from the senior college in Fort Wayne, which is a site now of Concordia Theological Seminary. Mm-hmm. Before that, I went to Concordia Milwaukee, which sounds archaic. So Milwaukee, the senior college, and then 69, I got here. And that was pretty much the prescribed route if you wanted to become a pastor in that time. And I didn't realize that the campus was relatively new, maybe 40 years old, and the tower, Luther Tower, that dominates our 72 acres, that was only a few years old. I do remember in 69 or 70, one of those early years, they placed the bells, the 49 bells of the carillon in the tower, and I recall that. But you know, when you're young, you don't see the things in the historical perspective. Unfortunately, I do now.
Well, at least it wasn't Concordia Seminary Perry County at the time, so that would be more historic. Right?
One of the things we did a few years ago is as part of renovations, and we are constantly renovating, trying to bring up to speed that grand old campus. But we moved the replica log cabin to a prominent place. So we see that all the time. But
yeah,
you're absolutely right. It wasn't Perry County.
A lot of great history.
It wasn't the good old days.
I joked with Dr. Gard yesterday about Concordia Seminary. I said, all right, Concordia University Chicago. I said, I graduated from Concordia University River Forest and Concordia University Chicago. Can you? And I have a sweatshirt from each of those eras. So can you get me one that says Concordia Addison?
Yeah. Well, I had a seventh and eighth grade teacher. I grew up in the Chicago area, and my seventh and eighth grade teacher started out at Addison.
The Lutheran Teachers Seminary, I believe, in Addison.
Yeah,
I think Concordia Teachers College eventually.
I don't know.
Well, Concordia Seminary celebrating 175 years here, what does that mean? Celebrating 175 years. What has Concordia Seminary been up to for 175 years?
Main answer: providing pastors and now deaconesses, but over the 175 years, predominantly pastors to Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about 13,000 that we have graduated, who've gone into the service of our Savior in this country and around the world. That's pretty impressive. I have learned in my 10 years as president from associations and conversations with other seminary presidents in the United States that we are old, and interestingly enough, we are very respected. I didn't realize that as a student and even as a pastor, but we are old and venerable. So when you say Concordia Seminary, a lot of people pay attention.
Sure. Even I know of other places that I've worked and other people that I've gotten to know, they know Concordia Seminary as kind of a landmark here in St. Louis, even if they're not Lutheran, if they're not, you know, familiar with Lutherans, they know Concordia Seminary has been here for quite a while and they know a little bit about it.
And that puts a little more burden into the stewardship of my office and all of us who work at the seminary. And
so, having served the church by preparing pastors and now other church workers, deaconesses, over this time, any idea how many pastors or church workers have gone through that formation at Concordia
Seminary? About 13,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And as you mentioned, not just pastors who are serving here in the United States, but around the globe as well.
Yeah. And still today, we have faculty members who regularly are overseas. Mm-hmm. We have one in China right now, one in Europe. There is a worldwide awareness among the faculty and the students of the seminary. And one of the things I appreciate about President Harrison is his Global Seminary Initiative, which is helping to connect churches out of the United States with the theological resources we have at both of our seminaries in the United States.
Mm-hmm. And that's important. We've had students who've come to us from around the globe, from other church bodies, from other Lutheran church bodies who have come to Concordia Seminary to study here, but not everybody has the means to do that. So having that outreach, that initiative to send our professors around the globe to be a resource and teach theology and pastoral formation around the globe is important to contribute to the church.
You're absolutely right. The Missouri Synod is a relatively small denomination, and unfortunately, we seem to be getting smaller. But one thing that we have is a theological depth and expertise that is the envy of many Christians. For some time, I served on the board of the American Bible Society. It's a fine organization. Their mission is to get the Word of God to people.
Mm-hmm.
And as I served on that board, it slowly dawned on me that Lutherans, Missouri Synod Lutherans, we are or can be scholars of the gospel. We argue about things that other people look at us and say, "What?" Well, when you explain it to them, why we have these discussions that we do, yeah. So we're very blessed with our theological knowledge, and churches and church leaders, church workers around the world want that. You mentioned how the GSI helps to make that possible. Yeah, one of the concerns that we have now is also for our domestic students. Seminary education has become very costly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're struggling with that. That's one of the things that we work at both seminaries. So, but you're right. The theological expertise of the seminary is something we want to share with the world.
Sure. So that because it's important that we have faithful pastors who are well equipped to serve in their vocations, and so having that, as you described, that depth, that solid foundation, that theological foundation, that the depth of knowing God's word and how we regard God's word, being able to have pastors that are trained in that way, that are educated in that way, is so important to the church.
You're right, and it's a challenge. The first sentence that you said struck me as loaded with dissertation possibilities, because we really do want to ground our students in the Word. This quarter, we're on the quarter system. I'm teaching the second homiletics class, second preaching class, and I ask some question to the student. I don't remember what it was, and something about the Bible, and I said, "Well, you're to become an expert in the Bible." Kind of looked at me and I said, "Yeah, that's what we're all supposed to become, becoming, mm-hmm. in process of becoming experts in the Word of God. And the challenge is that we're in a different culture. And the church has also changed. I mean, the stone walls we have and the stained glass windows don't keep out the cultural effects. We all feel them and we experience them. So some things that were present in the culture years ago that we identified as being faithful to God's word, maybe it wasn't so much God's word as the culture that we were in. My Uncle Henry, God love him. He was a pastor for many, many years in the Chicago area. He preached German. And in fact, he preached then English, but German until he died, I guess in the 70s. You know, there are people who say, you know, that German is the word of God. There's all kinds of stories that are true about that. Well, that was a cultural thing. So we're struggling with the Word of God, faithfulness to the Lutheran confessions, in a vastly changed culture. There are some people who will see something that is done differently and say they're not being faithful to the Word of God. Well, in fact, if you come and chat about that, yes, it is. So that's a tough thing to sort out, culture and fidelity to the Word of God. But without wrapping my long monologue up, getting back to your point, Andy, our future pastors have to know the Word of God. They have to be expert in it and the Lutheran confessions, and then respond out of that knowledge base.
That foundation of being a student of the Word in order to help others be a student of the Word.
It's one of the great things about aging is all of a sudden, I shouldn't say all of a sudden, but as you age, the Word becomes more important. Arnie Kuntz is a retired pastor out in California, and he said, life narrows down, and there in the narrow place stands Jesus. So the Word of God becomes increasingly important.
Mm. We are talking with the Reverend Dr. Dale Meyer, president of Concordia Seminary, on the history of the seminary and the 175th anniversary celebration. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation. Stick around for more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
In the book of Galatians, why does Paul contrast hearing with faith with works of the law? Live Wednesday on Issues Etc. We'll continue our series on the book of Galatians, talking with Dr. Andrew Doss about Galatians chapters 3 and 4. We'll also have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on sin entering the world.
Issues Etc. Live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Have you discovered hidden gems yet? Operated by Lutheran Senior Services, Hidden Gems is a resale store that features gently used items such as jewelry, home furnishings, clothing, and more. Proceeds benefit benevolent care for older adults who can no longer support themselves. Located in Crestwood Square at 9051 Watson Road, Hidden Gems accepts donations and welcomes shoppers from 9 to 4 Tuesdays through Saturdays. Follow us on Facebook or visit lssliving.org/hiddengems.
Do you have a reason to reach out to us at Worldwide KFUO? Is there a piece of communication you'd like for us to receive? It's not hard to reach us. Our street address is KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. If you missed it, the street address is found at the bottom of our homepage online, kfuoam.org. Every day we bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and song. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
For the world of that day, Rome was the ends of the earth. It was a city atop seven hills, the eternal city. Others called it the capital of the world. Above all, it was the place of power. It was the place of law and order in the ancient world. Even to places like this, God bridged the gap.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are talking with the Reverend Dr. Dale Meyer, president of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, about the 175th anniversary celebration. Dr. Meyer, what sort of festivities will be occurring to celebrate and commemorate this 175 years?
Well, the date is October the 10th. And honestly, we're not going to overplay this. You know, we've got work to do, but we would be wrong not to celebrate this wonderful heritage that has been given to us temporarily to be stewards. On the 9th of October, there's going to be all afternoon and early evening an exhibit in the library, and that should be very interesting. And one of the things I want to say is that as we look to the future, we are well on the way with our planning for a renovation of the library. So come and see the exhibit in the library, but know that in the years ahead, the library is going to be updated. At 4 o'clock, Dr. Joel Okamoto is going to deliver the inaugural lecture for the Griesbach Chair. We are blessed with quite a few endowed chairs, and that's helpful for all sorts of budget reasons, which is the dark world in which I have to live. But Dr. Okamoto is just a wonderful professor and a very sharp mind, and he'll be giving the inaugural lecture. That's followed by a carillon concert from those 49 bells that I saw dropped, or I shouldn't say dropped, placed into the tower. Then on Friday afternoon is the big one. Actually, in the morning, we start with chapel service at 9:35. I think I'm preaching, Andy, but, you know.
You might want to check on that.
I've got to prepare my sermon for Sunday first. Yeah, 9:35, chapel anniversary service. And then in the afternoon, we are having lectures by some of our very fine professors, Drs. Arend, Kloa. I think Arend will probably be talking about creation. Ecology. I'm just guessing now, but that's his expertise. Dr. Kloa is an expert in the scriptures. Dr. Sanchez and Dr. Olowski and Dr. Bodie and Herman. And Bodie and Herman will be on history for sure. So it's a day for the mind. One of the things we talk about at the seminary amongst ourselves is a vigorous mind in the service of the gospel. So those lectures promised to be very informative. And then, while we were off camera or off mic, you brought up, no doubt, the highlight. And do you want to do the drum roll and set that up, Andy?
I don't think I have a drum roll in here.
Not a KFUO doesn't have a drum roll?
I don't have a drum roll. But it looks like an exciting event.
4 o'clock, the Witten Eva Cup soccer game. You all know what the Witten Eva soccer game is.
I think some of our listeners might be in the same boat that I'm in. Took a minute for me to figure that out. That's took a little explanation.
Witten Eva, Wittenberg and Geneva. And this is our annual soccer game with Covenant Seminary. And every year we do that. We've got one with Kenrick Lennon, too, and I forget the name of that one. But we engage. It's really great. We get together with these other seminaries for sports events like soccer, but also for other events. Sometimes the faculties get together for lectures and so on. So you know, it's not the biggest thing, but it's going to be one of the fun things of the anniversary celebration. And then that evening, Friday evening, the Student Association puts on Oktoberfest. Mm. And that is that's a fun time. Ties are forbidden.
Ties are forbidden. So don't wear your tie. Now, what about lederhosen?
It wouldn't surprise me if somebody does that. I don't know, but it's a fun time. So are we turning this into a big multi-day, multi-month celebration? No. I mean, like Jesus said, there's work to do while it is day, or the night cometh when no man can work. But we are tipping our hat. I would say that, you know, we're tipping our hat, as we ought to do, to the history. But the seminary has great energy for the future, and we're looking forward to the future. Seminaries are an endangered species in this day and age. Every year, there's a seminary or two or more that belly up. And so the heavy responsibility that I and I think our senior leadership feel is for not only preserving, but making sure that Concordia Seminary is vital to the mission of our Lord Jesus for generations to come. So God be thanked for 175 years. We're really focused on the next 25, 50.
Mm. And so many things to celebrate. And you mentioned we're not just doing a bunch of hoopla there to celebrate this, not a bunch of festivities just to celebrate this. But you mentioned the lectures. There are a lot of great lectures. There's a lot of learning that can happen along the way with this celebration. And that's a great way to celebrate 175 years. I was looking at some of the lectures from Dr. Arend, the Lutheran Confessions for the Next Generation, and Dr. Kloa, the Centrality of the Scriptures for the Next Generation.
Okay, you've got the specific title. Good. You're prepared.
Dr. Sanchez, The Next Generation of Lutheranism and the International Context. And Dr. Ilowski, Days of Future Past, Listening to the First Generations of the Church. So interesting. All good stuff.
I'm glad you shared those titles, which... Mm-hmm. I apologize, I didn't have in front of me. So, Andy, you weeded them out. But, you know, I mean, in this day and age, when you get tweets and and Facebook and all of that stuff, depth is an unknown thing, especially mm-hmm. when it comes to theology. You know, everybody has their opinion about God. I have mine, you have yours. Who are you to tell me that we're wrong? And you've got to go deep. And that's one of the reasons why the church, not only our church, but here's where we live, our church maintains seminary faculties so that we have people who can go deep and share the depth of theology with the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. That it comes back to what we were talking about earlier, that formation of pastors as good students of the word so that they can go out and be teachers of the word to help the rest of us be students of the word.
Mm-hmm. So the question comes up, you know, how practical are seminaries? we need that stable of professors to prepare the next generation, but also, and we're big time into this at Concordia. Not only to prepare the next generation, but continuing at lay education offerings beyond the classroom. That's a huge challenge for the future. The last convention of the Missouri Synod put a stress on continuing education for clergy. We're doing that. Our offerings on iTunes U get almost 1 million downloads a year. We're increasingly focused on lay education because lay people can get a mm-hmm. lot of places that a clergyman cannot. So, you need a stable of theologians who are in service to the future generations and to those who are out there now.
You're talking about the technology and things like that. How has seminary changed over time? I know I know in the anniversary lecture with Dr. Bodie and Dr. Herman that they'll be covering The True Light Shines, Concordia Seminary, 1839 to 2014. So I know in that lecture, they'll probably be talking about some of the changes and things over time. But looking back in the history of Concordia Seminary, where it was, you know, even 50 years ago to today and the way that a course is taught, certainly the Word of God is central to what's being taught, but the technology that's used, the audience that's being reached, it's, you know, as you mentioned, we now have deaconess students, we have other graduate students who are studying there, we have missionaries, we have pastors from all over the world, we have the institute, the ethnic institute.
It's different. It's not the seminary that I came to 45 years ago. It's probably not the seminary of 25 years ago. So yesterday, Andy, I'm teaching my class, the second preaching class, and there's a student on my left, who's looking at his iPhone. Well, I can scowl. And I looked at him. Well, he had the Bible.
He had his Greek New Testament or his
Yeah,
his
well,
Bible.
It was in English. Yeah. It was in English, but and he showed it to me, and I could see that's what he was doing. The technology has changed immensely. I mean, typewriters. Well, I had my little typewriter. Now we've got all these gizmos. It has changed the way we teach. Mm-hmm. Absolutely changes the way we teach. Students today might look like us, but they don't think like us. Their brains are wired differently. And these gizmos have a lot to do with the rewiring of the brain. We have some students now who are students who are in a large congregation, serving for a quarter, shadowing the pastor. This is a healthy congregation, so they're learning on site, you know, what it means to be a pastor. You can learn it on site probably better than you can learn a lot of things in the classroom. But they're taking their full quarter of assignments by independent study and by distance. It's just a new world. And there's a lot of people and maybe listeners who say, distance versus residential. No, the two of them are merging. We're seeing this already at the seminary. It's true at other schools. It's not distance versus residential. They are merging into a hybrid. And I think it's going to be a good thing.
Well, very good. We're celebrating Concordia Seminary's 175 years coming up October 10th. Lots of festivities. Well, some festivities, not too many, right? Don't want to get out of control.
We want to make history so that when the old Andy Bates interviews the next president, he'll talk about, boy, these last 50 years were great.
We've been talking with the Reverend Dr. Dale Meyer, president of Concordia Seminary. Dr. Meyer, thanks for being our guest this morning on His Time, spending some time with us.
My pleasure.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today, we're going to study with the Reverend Andrew Fields, pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Valparaiso, Indiana. Hope you can join us for that as we study Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 through 18. We'll get into that in just a little bit, right after AP Radio News and the weather on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.